It goes down to people. People ask for political will. It exists. We're all talking about climate. We're talking about commitments and so on. And when I see Greta Thunberg, a teen who fights for her generation and for generations to come, that gives me hope.
Welcome to the GAC Files, a podcast about the people, issues, and ideas driving Global Affairs Canada. Bienvenue dans les dossiers d'AMC, un balado sur les personnes, les défis et les idées qui animent Affaires mondiales Canada.
More than 2 years ago, Tom Bowie began his nature journey at the Global Issues and Development Branch at Global Affairs Canada. Currently the department's Director of Environment, he is proud to be a member of both the Global Environment Facility Council and the Green Climate Fund Board. Recognized by his peers as a great leader and negotiator, Tom has been a loyal public servant for the past 25 years. In addition to Global Affairs Canada, he has left his mark at Finance Canada, Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada, and as a finance counselor at the World Bank Group, an organization that provides a wide array of products and services to countries in need around the world. Bonjour, chers auditeurs. Ici Alexandre Lévesque, sous-ministre adjoint de la politique stratégique à Affaires mondiales Canada. Bienvenue à cette mini-série portant sur les objectifs de développement durable où j'aurai le plaisir de discuter avec Tom Bowie de la lutte contre les changements climatiques et du développement durable. Tom, welcome to the podcast.
Merci beaucoup, Alexandre. Ça me fait plaisir d'être ici à votre micro aujourd'hui.
Avant de débuter, j'aimerais souligner que cet épisode fait partie d'une mini-série de 3 balados qui portent sur les objectifs de développement durable. To respect Canada's Official Languages Act, I invite our guest to speak in the language of his choice. Tom, let's get into it. I've been told that you're a bit of a storyteller. I find you have a fascinating journey, and I'd love for you to share with our listeners a little bit of your story. You were born in Vietnam, came to Canada as a refugee. Tell us a little bit the story of Tom and how you got to where you are today.
Merci, Alexandre. Oui, c'est vrai. J'ai grandi au Vietnam. Ma mère, mes deux frères et leur famille sont toujours au Vietnam. J'étais réfugié. Je suis toujours réfugié. J'ai vécu 2 ans dans le camp des réfugiés à Palawan, aux Philippines. Once you have gone through an experience like that, it changes you. And so my journey in life has always been about purpose, to be there for people. So I took jobs, for example, out of SFU. I chose the public service instead of Wells Fargo. I chose the World Bank Group. Then I chose to become the director for refugees, or the refugee director at immigration. And then I was there for Africa. I was there for a lot of people who are voiceless and vulnerable. Et il y a 2 ans, j'avais besoin d'un nouveau poste. Mon ami m'a dit de postuler pour le poste de directeur de l'environnement pour devenir membre du conseil d'administration du Fonds vert pour le climat. Heureusement, elle m'a promis de me fournir des conseils stratégiques to actually do well as the Director of Environment, to fight the climate crisis. But more importantly, I would say to protect the only home we have. There's no planet B, as Ban Ki-moon said.
That's a great segue. Tell us what your role is as Director for the Environment Division at Global Affairs.
I put it down as 3 things. 1, all of my specialists actually serve the 3 ministers. They review all development projects, they review all MCs and all TB submissions. They actually look at all new strategies from an environmental integration lens. I have a team that delivers the oceans portfolio. We fight plastic pollution. We also are taking care of the policy suite for environment, climate, and now nature.
And for our listeners, TB sub is a government speak for Treasury Board submission. A very important document and part of the process to get the green light to how we're going to spend funds. Tom, why is climate action an important area for Canada and for Global Affairs Canada?
Climate change is a very, very interesting subject in that it actually can be called an existential crisis. It touches everyone in Canada and around the world. I grew up in BC, and last year, there were forest fires, and there was a heat wave, a heat dome that killed lots and lots of life. Personally, my mom, still in Vietnam, cannot go out because of the higher temperatures. The higher temperatures actually would kill her. And that's why her doctor told her that she can only go out of her house during the night.
That's where we see how it touches people very personally. This is not just a policy file, right? It touches everyone across the planet. And because climate change knows no borders, I'm interested in your views on why the SDGs, particularly when it comes to climate action, are important here in Canada. So you work on the international side of climate change. How can Canadians contribute to reaching the climate action goal?
On the SDGs themselves, the way that those of us who not only work on the SDGs, but also work on the environment, climate, and nature file, we see that without a healthy planet, that is actually of a reasonable temperature, and that life is not lost through environmental destruction, you cannot reduce poverty without protecting the health of the planet, because quite a lot of food comes from forests, comes from our coastal waters, and so on. Everybody depends on it. When it comes to Canada and Canadians, what can we do? Canadians have already adopted quite a lot of measures. For example, we are transitioning toward electric vehicles. We are committed to do energy transition at the city level. Quite a lot of buses are actually now electric. And if we can do other things, like, for example, use less, recycle more, then the cost of production of the goods and services that we need goes down. And the cost of production actually includes energy that is actually the source of quite a lot of the climate change problems that we have.
Can you tell us a little bit about concrete actions? Like, what kind of actions, as a director of the division you're in charge of, a couple of examples of concrete actions you've actually taken to move the needle a little bit?
Concretely, last December, the Prime Minister announced $350 million in new funding for nature conservation around the world to fight climate change, to protect nature, in order for nature, biodiversity, food to be there for our generation and generations to come. In terms of my own decisions as Director of Environment, I, for example, sit on the board of the Green Climate Fund. I approved investments in India to allow for electric, clean mobility solutions, basically cars, buses that run cleanly, because air pollution, the use of fossil fuels actually not only hurt the planet, but harms our health. And the other concrete thing that I did was to approve investments to restore coral reefs. We all know coral reefs is not only the source of food, but it's a barrier against disasters and bad weather that impact coastal communities.
Tom, is there hope for the future? Is there hope on climate change? What makes you an optimist?
When I see Greta Thunberg, a teen who fights for her generation and for generations to come, that gives me hope. And I see that people who are not devoted like decades to climate coming on board in order to contribute what they can to fight this existential crisis for themselves and for their families, for their communities, and for all people. That gives me hope. It's actually the commitment of everyone.
Great words to finish on. Tom, merci beaucoup de t'être joint à nous aujourd'hui. C'est un réel plaisir de parler avec toi.
Merci, Alexandre.
Dans le prochain épisode, j'accueillerai Caroline Delaney, directrice générale de l'Afrique australe et de l'Est à Affaires mondiales Canada. Nous parlerons des défis liés aux objectifs de développement durable en Afrique. Restez à l'affût.
When I landed in Mozambique in 2018, it really felt that Mozambicans' understanding of the impacts of climate change was much higher than what I had seen in Canada. And I think that that's changed in the 4 years that I have been away. And what I hope is that this turns into concrete, rapid, and flexible tools to support the countries that have the least responsibility for climate change, but are also the most impacted.
Caroline Delaney is very well versed in international affairs. Since she joined what was then the Canadian International Development Agency in 2005, Caroline has held many roles in international development and foreign policy, particularly in South Asia and Africa. She was Canada's High Commissioner to Mozambique, as well as Director of the Mozambique Development Program. She has led Global Affairs Canada's engagement in many development programs and policies, such as the Feminist International Assistance Policy. Bonjour, chers auditeurs. Ici Alexandre Lévesque, sous-ministre adjoint de la politique stratégique à Affaires mondiales Canada. Bienvenue à cette mini-série portant sur les objectifs de développement durable. Dans cet épisode, Caroline Delaney et moi allons parler des défis liés aux objectifs de développement durable en Afrique. Alors, bienvenue. Welcome, Caroline.
Merci beaucoup.
Caroline, you're just back from a number of years based in Maputo in Mozambique, where you were High Commissioner, and for our listeners, High Commissioner and Ambassador are two synonymous titles. A High Commissioner simply means that you're posted in a Commonwealth country. And actually, Caroline and I have this in common because I was once High Commissioner to Tanzania, which is right next door to Mozambique. Caroline, tell me a little bit about how you viewed and understood your role as High Commissioner.
Thanks, Alexandre. It's nice to meet someone who has a similar experience with regards to explaining that particular title. And the other thing that was unique about my time there was that I was also director of the development program, which I think is one of the only positions left in the department that is still head of mission and development director. So it was a really excellent opportunity for me to be able to drive integration across all of our lines of efforts in our engagement in Mozambique, as well as the other two countries that I covered, which were Malawi and Eswatini. Some of my favorite times there were really related to the field visit. I think some of my strongest memories are related to meeting women's rights organizations who declared themselves feminist all over Mozambique and Malawi and Eswatini and really moved to mobilize support, whether it was for shelter to women experiencing violence at home or to respond to the risks to young people in the face of climate disasters. It was those relationships that I was able to build and the things that I was able to learn from the Mozambicans, Malawians, and Mswati who were working so hard to build a better future for their countries. That's really what I remember about my time there.
And I have to say what you mentioned actually brings back great memories for me and my time in East Africa, because what you mentioned really echoes my time there, and some of my favorite experiences were also field visits. And you mentioned feminism. This was a big theme when I was posted to Tanzania as well. Caroline, vous êtes maintenant la directrice générale pour l'Afrique du Sud et de l'Est à l'administration centrale. Est-ce que vous pourriez nous expliquer un peu quel est le rôle des objectifs de développement durable dans les pays qui sont dans votre région?
Merci, c'est une bonne question, mais c'est un peu difficile en même temps. Des objectifs clairs tels que ceux définis dans les ODD sont essentiels pour concentrer nos efforts collectifs sur le travail qui permettra de réduire la pauvreté. Et nulle part ailleurs, cela n'est plus important que sur le continent africain où l'extrême pauvreté a augmenté pendant la pandémie de COVID. Et nous avons des raisons d'être optimistes pour l'avenir. Une étude suggère que 14,1 millions de vies ont été sauvées en Afrique grâce à la priorité accordée par les OMD à des problèmes tels que la mortalité infantile, la mortalité maternelle et le sida. Dans le contexte africain, je pense également que la reconnaissance par les ODD du fait que tous les pays, ont du travail à faire pour s'attaquer au moteur de la pauvreté et une étape importante vers des approches internationales que reconnaissez réellement que nous sommes tous partenaires dans cette affaire.
Merci, Caroline. Je suis bien conscient du fait que quand on gère des enjeux de développement, tout n'est pas toujours facile. En tant qu'ancienne haute commissaire du Canada au Mozambique, quels sont certains des défis sur lesquels vos pays de responsabilité faisaient face, étaient confrontés dans la mise en œuvre des ODD?
Il existe un défi important pour les ODD, à savoir que l'engagement et les sensibilisations aux ODD restent limités dans le travail quotidien sur le développement sur leur terrain. Bien qu'ils soient utiles au niveau mondial, ils n'encadrent pas toujours la manière dont les gouvernements, les populations et les partenaires de mise en œuvre comprennent le travail. This is not to say that there's not value in the goals. One of the most important outcomes of the MDGs and the SDGs is the importance of data, and even our ability to talk about the challenges to meeting the SDGs is because of the data and the data systems that both the MDGs and the SDGs have driven in developing countries.
Thank you very much, Caroline. And for our listeners, a reminder that MDGs refers to the Millennium Development Goals, which preceded the Sustainable Development Goals. Music to my ears as the chief data officer for the department. Love to hear when data can be put to good use. Any other successes that involve Canada and your countries of accreditation in the implementation of the SDGs?
I think, of course, for us, in terms of the Feminist International Assistance Policy, gender equality is always front in mind and a major priority in Canada's engagement overseas. And I certainly felt that in Mozambique. And the focus on gender equality in the SDGs, I really think, is a driving factor around continued attention to the particular challenges that women and girls face in terms of realizing their full potential. I think one of the most profound experiences that I had while I was on posting was meeting young mentors. These are young women who mentor other girls younger than them who are at risk of child marriage. In Mozambique, they call it premature unions, which I think is also a useful way of recognizing these are not consensual relationships, these are not marriages, but forced unions between children and adults. And these mentors play an incredible role and a very profound role in terms of supporting the girls to avoid these circumstances, to have those difficult conversations with their family members or with others that can support them to avoid those particular pitfalls. And I really think that's a big memory for me, is the strength of those mentors and the difficult work that they have in supporting the girls in their communities.
Now, in the past, we'll say year and a half, maybe even going back 2-3 years, given the number of crises, the layered crises that started with the pandemic, a lot of analysis, a lot of publications have started talking about the fact that the SDGs are now off track. Attaining them, the amount of resources that are required to achieve them are not tracking the need. And in this context of what we now call a pluri-crisis, it seems like they're becoming less and less attainable. Based on your experience, are they attainable? And are there some key actions that Canada can take to help increase the momentum and actually meet the SDGs by 2030?
I personally believe the SDGs remain very relevant because they are an expression of global objectives with regards to development, and they are tools to be able to track progress towards really important objectives. At the same time, I think that it's important to recognize that in the African context in particular, we're not on track to meet the targets for 2030. And in fact, the target number one in terms of the reduction of extreme poverty looks incredibly and almost impossible to meet before 2030. And so part of the discussion around the SDGs is to recognize their limitations that exist already. For Canada, I think it really does mean just doubling down on what we already know is essential for development. And I would offer that in the African context, this means recognizing African leadership and expertise. There is a set of African objectives as well. It's called Agenda 2063. These are longer term objectives, and they're very much driven by the members of the African Union. They can inform our understanding of the SDGs and what's needed to move forward on those over the next, well, I guess, 8 years now.
Caroline, I'd like to finish on a bit of a hopeful note. I received Ambassador Ray, Bob Ray, our ambassador to the UN, at the same microphone recently, and we also finished on a bit of his hopes for the future. Canada has played an important leadership role on climate change, on biodiversity. Not so long ago, the Conference of Parties, COP15, was hosted in Montreal on biodiversity. I'm curious to know, what are your hopes, particularly with regard to the climate action goal? Could you provide a couple of words with regard to specifically the climate action goal?
I do think there's reason to be optimistic, because I really think that we've seen the world turn a corner when it comes to climate change and climate action. And there's a level of recognition of the crisis that I don't think was there. For example, when I landed in Mozambique in 2018, it really felt that Mozambicans' understanding of the impacts of climate change was much higher than what I had seen in Canada. And I think that that's changed in the 4 years that I have been away. And what I hope is that this turns into concrete, rapid, and flexible tools to support the countries that have the least responsibility for climate change, but are also the most impacted. The other opportunity that this situation creates is that these new technologies and the tools for climate adaptation and mitigation to address existing gaps that drive persistent poverty are really there. Unlike Canada, where we face the very tough work of adapting existing infrastructure, in many African countries, there is the opportunity to build in climate smart approaches from the very beginning, to leapfrog technology, to use some lingo that's used quite a bit these days. And I do think that that's particularly exciting.
Caroline, merci beaucoup. It's been a real pleasure having you today.
Thank you very much.
Dans le prochain épisode, je recevrai Heather Cameron, consul général au Consulat général du Canada au Brésil à São Paulo. Ensemble, nous explorerons la relation entre le commerce et les objectifs de développement durable. Restez à l'affût.
And so to see our department encouraging small, medium enterprises to export, to see them having export success in an area that also helps directly relate to SDGs such as responsible consumption and production, clean water and sanitation, that really brings a smile to my face.
Heather Cameron has been making Canada shine abroad since she joined the department in the 1990s. Working in the international development field, she had a number of assignments overseas. During her career, she served in Zimbabwe in regional humanitarian affairs, in Mozambique as director of development, and in Ghana as Canada's High Commissioner. Her significant experience has brought her to São Paulo in Brazil, where she and her team deliver services to Canadian clients and partners, advancing Canada's trade and policy priorities in the southern region of Brazil. Bonjour, chers auditeurs, ici Alexandre Lévesque, sous-ministre adjoint de la politique stratégique à Affaires mondiales Canada. Bienvenue à cette mini-série portant sur les objectifs de développement durable avec Heather Cameron. Ensemble, nous allons explorer la relation entre le commerce et les objectifs de développement durable. Heather, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Heather, can you explain for our listeners what exactly is your role as Consul General?
I'm here based in Sao Paulo, Brazil, one of the world's largest cities, to represent and advance Canada's priorities in the four southern states of Brazil. So trade, investment, foreign direct investment attraction, very big parts of the job. But also we have a large responsibility to Canadians in need of consular assistance and other priorities to advance, for example, in the areas of gender equality, environment, etc.
Indeed, and many people would be jealous to hear about your experiences living in Brazil. Can you share some of your favorite experiences or anecdotes that really mark your time as Consul General?
Well, without question, the pandemic, whether it was helping Canadians get home, just helping our staff through that, and then thinking through how to innovate and how to serve abroad in a very difficult context in a very urban setting. But so glad things have opened up now and that we're able to get out and explore this beautiful country a little bit more. And it's great to welcome back so many Canadians who are here in the areas of education, trade, and others, and to see how they advance the relationship between Canada and Brazil.
Now, as our listeners know, SDGs are universal. They mean different things to different countries. How has the context evolved and how are they relevant in the Brazilian context?
Brazil is very engaged, actually, on the sustainable development goals, including here in the city of Sao Paulo, the state of Sao Paulo, and other actors. And in fact, a UN-led organization called the Global Compact, which brings together private sector actors to help advance the SDGs, its largest chapter globally is based here in Brazil. And so there's quite a broad societal engagement on the SDGs, offering lots of inspiration and lots of opportunities to connect.
You, in your career, have made some changes or interesting moves that not every foreign service can claim to have done. You were much more of a development expert. And now, I would argue, in Sao Paulo, the bulk of your work is focused on trade and on helping Canadian companies in Brazil. It's a pretty significant change in career trajectory. First of all, if you wouldn't mind taking a minute to walk us through why that change and speak a little bit about how that came about for you.
Well, I'm grateful that Canadian Foreign Service and the public service offers us a chance to serve abroad and to bring different strengths to different jobs. And of course, development is a social and economic process that all countries are engaged in. Regardless, there's always room for improvement. And so the private sector and the role of the private sector, the role of trade is always a big part of the development process, even if in different countries, Canada chooses to target its official development assistance towards a particular vulnerable group or towards a particular issue. Without question, the overall development trajectory in any particular context requires a strong, active private sector and to create those jobs, to create that wealth. And so perhaps it's not quite as big a shift from an SDG perspective as it might be seen.
So I'm hearing a lot of complementarity. And would you say in a way that your training or your experience as a development officer has helped you, has contributed to you being a better senior trade commissioner, the head trade commissioner in Sao Paulo?
I would say yes. I think it's helped make me a great consul general, especially when we look at priorities like clean tech and responsible business conduct and the opportunities to advance with Canadian technologies on really important things like energy transition. And so being aware, I think, more broadly of the contributions that can be made really helps us advance opportunities for Canadian companies within those frameworks.
I'd like to circle back a little bit to the SDGs themselves. How does Canada's inclusive approach to trade contribute to meeting the SDGs in Brazil?
I think our inclusive approach to trade, part of it comes through trade policy and the kind of dialogue that we have with different countries about the differential impacts of trade, about norms and standards for trade, and those create opportunities for entrepreneurs, and that's really important. If I share an example, you know, a small company from southern Ontario that has some amazing wastewater technology that's now being used by some of the largest public utilities in the world. And so to see our department encouraging small, medium enterprises to export, to see them having export success in an area that also helps directly relate to SDGs such as responsible consumption and production, clean water and sanitation, that really brings a smile to my face and really makes me feel very positive about how Canadian exporters can contribute to the achievement of SDGs, not just here in Brazil, not just in Canada, but around the world.
Heather, ça c'est des belles histoires à succès. Est-ce que vous pouvez aussi nous parler de certains des défis qu'on rencontre dans ce travail?
Well, toujours dans les grands marchés, il y a toujours de concurrence. Et pour nous, ici au consulat général, c'est important qu'on offre le meilleur avis à nos exportateurs canadiens. Mais il y a encore des choses à faire pour sensibiliser le secteur privé, sensibiliser le public sur le potentiel des ODD pour avancer par le biais de croissance économique à nos priorités. Il y a des gens peut-être qui veulent couper les coins, qui ne veulent pas respecter les normes, etc. C'est pas la façon de faire pour le Canada ni pour les autres. Il y a une demande importante pour des citoyennes maintenant d'avoir des produits avec qui sont bien fondés sur le plan environnemental, le plan social. Alors, je pense que on fait du progrès, mais c'est important de faire le progrès le plus rapidement possible.
Il nous reste pas beaucoup de temps pour ce balado. J'aimerais terminer sur une note positive. Heather, I'm curious to hear from your point of view. Are there reasons to be hopeful when it comes to implementing the SDGs?
Well, I know that there's a lot of challenges globally. In terms of the future, I'm really excited about what's happening locally and so many companies coming in with some great solutions, whether it's to optimize renewable energy performance, whether it's to help with food storage or more efficient production of almost anything. There, I think we're making some progress there. The private sector is having some great roles and great opportunities. And so when I see those successes happening, that's what gives me my energy. That's what helps keep us motivated. And so pleased to be working on behalf of Canadian companies to help advance in these areas and others.
Des très bonnes paroles sur lesquelles terminer. Heather, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure talking with you today.
Merci beaucoup.
The GAC Files is a production of Global Affairs Canada. All opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals and not necessarily that of their employer or Global Affairs Canada. For more information on Global Affairs Canada podcasts, visit www.international.gc.ca. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Thank you for listening to The GAC Files. Les dossiers d'AMC sont une production d'Affaires Mondiales Canada. Toutes les opinions exprimées dans ce balado sont celles des personnes concernées et pas nécessairement celles de leurs employeurs ou d'Affaires Mondiales Canada. Pour plus d'informations sur les balados d'Affaires Mondiales Canada, visitez le site internet www.international.gc.ca. N'oubliez pas de vous abonner à notre balado. Merci d'avoir écouté les dossiers d'AMC.